And before we talk about Representative Marie Glusenkamp Perez and whether she has the remedy for the Democratic Party's malaise or whether she is a pox on the party, we're gonna take a look at this fundraiser from Donald Trump. And I can't even remember who sent this to me, but Charles, you've seen it as well.
I have.
It's his kind of a, you know, he looks, how do you describe him? His eyes are squinting, his mouth is, pursed.
Yeah.
He looks like he's about to kick your butt.
If he could. It's his new look, though, because, you know, evidently he's going natural on his hair. So.
Just as he is on his skin tone?
Well, that has to be, that's AI modified because obviously his skin doesn't look like normal flesh.
Yeah.
You know.
So he says, quote, I reached out last week about my citizens only survey. Your file says you're a top MAGA patriot, but my records.
Well, you know why he's citizens only? Because people here illegally only vote for Democrats.
That's right. Obviously, yeah. So he says, your file says you're a top MAGA patriot, but my records to the survey still say response pending. Don't tell me you're an illegal alien. That cannot be true. This is your final moment to prove me wrong, Chris. Please. Are you a proud American citizen, or does ICE need to come and track you down? That is the most bizarre fundraising letter I've ever seen.
What is he collecting money for at this point?
Well, because it's all he does anymore. Not all he does, but it's.
Well, I mean, it's going into, I guess, into his Make America Great pack, but
eventually it's going to go into his pocket. You know.
Well, I think that's a given. Although, yeah. Really, he doesn't need another thing in his pocket. He's already $1.4 billion ahead.
Yeah.
In his first year, plus the $20 billion he's going to get out of the IRS for the disclosure.
$10 billion, isn't it?
I thought he asked for twenty. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so I mean. Does this kind of – this is a new kind of a fundraising tactic, Charles.
Right.
If I ever run for office again, I might have to use this.
Well, otherwise they're going to do a warrantless entry into your house and and shake you down for a contribution.
Oh, gosh. Incredible. Anyway, so Marie Glusenkamp Perez, she's a state representative. She's the U.S. congressperson, from Washington State, the area of Washington State that's kind of close to Portland. It's a Republican district.
Trump
won it, and she beat a Republican incumbent back in 2022 when she first won the seat.
Well, I lived out in California, and, you know, people need to understand that most of the cities that are, you know, the cities that deliver the Democratic majority in these states are along the actual coast. And Central Valley, which is mainly agricultural, you know, between the coastal mountains and the Sierras, is usually pretty conservative.
Well, Portland is an hour from the coast, but that's a little bit different.
Yeah, but it's still within sort of the coastal mountain area, just like the San Francisco area, same way.
So anyway, she came to the attention of many of us most recently with an amendment to a bill that would put up this inquiry into what she calls, quote, a plague in this country of headlight brightness, and that does not seem like the most pressing concern. But I get where she's coming from on this.
Yes.
And it's part of a bigger issue, bigger concern about the deterioration in this quality of life that we've had. And I would add to it, these streetlights out here.
You know, interesting.
I mean, it's interesting. Leaf blowers. I would add leaf blowers, too.
It's interesting you say that because it was just last Friday on NPR, on, you know, Science Friday, they were talking with a group of astronomers about the issue of finding places that are free of light.
Right. We had a guy on our program here just a couple weeks ago.
Okay, see, I realize that. Yeah, talking, and that it is a pox, you know, to be out in places that should be dark in which you can see the sky.
Well, it's gotten worse. Mm-hmm. And she's got a good point. And headlights have gotten so bright that they can blind
you. Also they're at the level above your head now because, the SUVs and the trucks are getting taller and taller.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a great point on that. I mean, you don't think of that as like one of the major cutting edge issues that are going to be in campaign brochures like you would see education or healthcare or even, you know, foreign policy issues. But, I mean, her point is that, you know, let's show people that, quote, we're living in the same reality as normal people, as regular people. Let's start, you know, she says we need to start paying attention to this sense of helplessness and anger caused by small issues like the proliferation of these headlights. And they offer a, you know, path for Democratic politicians to maybe reconnect with normal people on a very basic level.
Well, it would fill a vacuum that is presently filled by, particularly among rural voters, things that really ultimately don't matter that much to their life, mm-hmm. but have been made to matter because there's nothing else that's brought up, things like this,
yeah.
that are everyday issues for them. You know, so the culture issues, I mean, I have a hard time believing that somebody who lives out in rural Iowa, you know, Iowa cares that much about the issue of, you know, a trans girl playing on a girl's team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's how we're using these cultural issues.
You say we, you mean the Democrats? No, you mean the Republicans.
Well, the Republicans certainly yeah. are. But I mean, I think the Democrats go and do battle on the same field.
Right, which is a mistake.
Well, in many ways, yeah. yes. Because it's these are not necessarily even political issues. They are truly cultural issues, but they're made to have a much higher yeah. cogency than they should.
So her signature issue, her main cause is quite
the right to repair.
And for people who don't know what that is, that's the idea that manufacturers, those who make smartphones and, you know, John Deere tractors and whatnot, headlights, those products need to be able to be fixed by the purchaser because in many cases they can't. And it's basically part of this whole buy it and throw it away culture. You buy it, you can't fix it. You either have to toss it or bring it back and have them repair it and pay them to do it.
Right.
And, you know, I think more and more people say, yeah, that makes sense. Well, of course, there's a big lobby against changing it, though.
Of course. And it's because it leads to endless subscribing to continue to be able to use things that you already own.
Right.
So essentially, you know, her point and others is you're essentially renting it.
Right. Yeah.
So you're not really, you're really nothing more than a serf. It's just another way that this version of capitalism has turned you into a slave.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a chattel slave, but a
consumer slave.
So it just makes these corporations even that much more powerful.
And her main philosophical view is one I agree with is that she says academics, economists, and political consultants tend to fixate on this narrow set of divisive issues that obscure what's really driving alienation and anger in our society. Yeah. She considers herself skeptical of big business and big government alike, you know, but she's getting a lot of pushback from the Democratic Party and in her own district.
Yeah.
Have you seen that she has a primary opponent?
No.
She does.
Yeah.
She has a primary opponent. And actually, I'm going to play a clip for you from. So this is how serious her primary opponent is.
It was supposed to be a town hall for Perez to discuss her priorities and take questions, but the crowd quickly erupted in protest, all in the backdrop of signs, jeering, and chanting.
Well, you can see a lot of these people are mad over here. They want her to answer those questions. A lot of them feel that they have been betrayed.
I think that the Marie Guzenkamp Perez is not turning out to be the person I thought I was voting for.
Perez is one of just four Democrats who voted in favor of the Republican-led American Voter Eligibility Act, or the SAVE Act. The bill would require people to show proof of citizenship when registering to vote. Supporters say it would safeguard America's election system after alleging the U.S. has not adequately enforced federal election requirements.
So, yeah, she has an opponent,
mm-hmm.
A guy named Brent Henrich. He's a guy that stepped aside, I think, 4 years ago to let her run and mm-hmm. didn't want to challenge her. But now he sees so many Democratic voters upset with her over that vote, over her vote to continue. This is back in 2024, voting to continue funding for Israel's efforts to respond to the October 7th massacre. And again, that was way back then, like shortly after that happened. I don't know how she'd vote on that today, but you know, she's taken these votes that have just ticked off a lot of her base. And but again, not most of her base, because remember, this is the district that went by 17 points for Trump. And she won that district by a bigger margin than that 70. I can't remember what it was, but it was more than that.
But this is kind of the Democratic formula, not necessarily the one that's going to work, which is it's not to say that there aren't issues with what's happening to our vote. And I have to say, though, that seeing what happened in Atlanta, we'll talk about
that's probably the biggest story we're going to address today.
It's a bigger issue than the SAVE Act
or
even the Make Elections Great Again. If I hear one more use of great as an adjective, you know, beautiful, great, I mean, these meaningless terms, you know, when you have an ill-educated presidency.
Right. Except that this talk show is great. We're going further than that,
You know, is this an issue that affects her district? It was interesting, they showed a picture of people driving by a drop box and putting their votes in.
Yeah.
That actually is a much bigger issue than having to show, I mean, a real ID is proof that your citizenship has been checked, your driver's license.
Right.
And
I don't want to have now in order to fly.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to hear about, there's not enough time to get one. I can't put all these documents together. Enough's enough. I mean, you do have some responsibility to understand this is where we're going.
Yeah.
I mean, we're, you know.
But her main point is that the Democratic Party, and she looks back to Bill Clinton, actually. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before. Bill Clinton, NAFTA, and all the other trade treaties. He sent 6 million American jobs, American manufacturing jobs, overseas over the course of a decade.
Okay, but that was an economics that was an economics that was first brought into being by Ronald Reagan.
Sure, but you know, you wouldn't think a Democratic president would capitalize on it.
But it had been already going that way for 20 years.
Well, maybe turn it around instead of making it worse, you know?
Well, again, people, we don't have a discussion. We just have sound bites.
Yeah.
What happens if you brought all that manufacturing back? What would go better?
I don't even know how to argue that it would be a good thing. I mean,
well,
you obviously
somebody who's not for
thing.
Overconsumption.
Yeah. Well, I know.
If someone can do it better and cheaper, the advantage to Americans is it makes objects cheaper.
That's exactly what she rages against, and I totally concur with her. This whole thought of globalization. It's not only killing American jobs, it's adding pollution to the planet in places where they don't have any adequate controls over toxic emissions. Working conditions are terrible. And again, and we have a Democratic Party that has basically embraced that, and she's arguing against that. Again, some of her votes are going to really tick off the base, and they have ticked off the base, as we just heard. But she has been one of the handful of Democrats who have effectively won in a Republican district. And so maybe the party should be learning from her instead of just trying to, you know, blast away at her.
Wouldn't that
be a good idea?
I think where they should be studying is, why are her constituents so angry at her now? What is it, if it's the SAVE Act, I don't know what you do with that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean,
because that's not an everyday issue for the people in her district.
No.
So why are they so angry about it?
I think for some Democrats, there is a purity test, and you have to check all the boxes or you're not good enough.
Right, and that's how they end up with Donald Trump.
Exactly,
Yeah, and
so,
the legislature in the hands
so
of the
I may not agree with her vote on Gaza, and I don't, you know. And again, maybe she'd vote differently today. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I certainly agree with her overall perspective that, you know, we need to deal with issues that are affecting people directly in their lives. We need to respect the wisdom and lifestyle that is central to, you know, to rural living. and we need to start, backing away from this whole concept that we should be exporting. It's okay to export jobs overseas because we'll get cheaper products. You know, we're not just consumers. We're not just the
Duplicating all the things that are done better elsewhere is even more destructive than the environment. For instance, the rare earth thing. Okay,
rare earth minerals.
Right. It's not a question of mining them; it's a question of processing them, and the Chinese are very good at that. And if we're going to duplicate that here, you are going to despoil a whole bunch of rural areas to essentially do the same thing the Chinese are already doing. So now you're going to have two places in the world that are being ruined by mining. So, first of all, manufacturing is still a huge part of the American economy. Second of all, you know what's a bigger industry and employs more people now? Tourism. Tourism employs more people. Tourism-related industry employs
Where?
More people in the United States.
Not anymore.
Well, not anymore. That's correct. That's correct. Right. It's being destroyed by the way we're dealing with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But my point is that this thing about manufacturing, first of all, underestimates how much manufacturing is already done in the United States. And it way overestimates that new industry are not going to be labor intensive. New industry is going to be AI run. And then we have this vague promise, we'll make new jobs.
Yeah, no, we don't. Right? Yeah. No, I think, if I understand her correctly, she's also pushing back against that. And Well,
she's pushing more toward the living a more spiritual, a less consumer-oriented life. And that,
great.
I'm definitely down with that. That's correct.
Yeah. Anyway, do I think the Democratic Party is going to listen to her? Probably not. In fact, will she win her primary? I don't know. I mean, this guy, the last poll show that she is slipping and he is gaining. So we'll see. You know, maybe, again, the Democratic Party is one of the dumbest organizations on the planet. And I'll say that again and again. And I just can't believe that it continues to double down on the disastrous things that first came to light during the Bill Clinton presidency. And we haven't learned. We let consultants and academicians and people who have this big lofty globalization perspective call the shots. And we fail to listen to the people on the ground, the people in our towns and working our fields and, you know, working, you know, doing jobs that, you know, could be replaced by robots. It's not all of them, but I think she's got the answer. Even if I don't agree with all of her votes, I think she's got the answer to what the Democratic Party ought to do.
I think running locally and not getting overly involved in the global issues that that are leading nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is that many of if you're in a rural area, their view of these global issues that you and I think are very important is 180 degrees different.
It depends. It depends, really.
Well, you've walked out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that going and talking about the demise of democracy is not moving a lot of people in the rural areas. It moves some.
I don't know. I found a lot of concern about the demise of democracy. Among voters who said they, you know, implied at least that they supported Trump. I never pushed people to
vote. Well, how then can they possibly be concerned about the demise of democracy if they're Trump voters?
Because the Democratic Party didn't offer an alternative.
How so?
We're going to need to move on. How so? I mean, we'll have that conversation again, Charles.